Getting homeless people into houses is an ongoing struggle in many communities, with the ideas always taking longer to implement than people may think at first. People in Medford had an idea a while ago to create a tiny house village, roughly modeled after Opportunity Village Eugene and similar projects. But issues like where to put it came up, and so just today, ground will be broken for the planned Hope Village on the City of Medford-owned land on North Columbus Avenue in town. Rogue Retreat is leading the charge for Hope Village. Chad McComas is the executive director of Rogue Retreat and our guest in the studio here. Chad, good to have you.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you.
We also have with us as well Brandon, who we've come to through Compass House, where he is a member. And he's currently homeless as well and can give us some perspective on what it is like to be homeless in Medford. And we were saying just coming into the program, Brandon, that you've been homeless in a couple of different cities. Is that right?
That's right.
And how does the experience that you've had in the Medford area compare to some of the other places you've been?
This is the hardest place I've ever been homeless.
How so?
The resources here are limited and the waiting lists are extremely long. And it's complicated. Even with a full-time job, I can't get into a place because some of the rental places, even a roommate situation, wants about, you know, $700 to move in. And it's hard to save up that much to move in.
So you have a full-time job and you're homeless?
Yes.
Wow. And so how long have you been in this case? It's happened a couple of times in your life, I understand.
Yes, this is like the fourth time I've been homeless.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the other places you've been homeless?
Yakima, Moses Lake, and... Eugene,
right?
Eugene, yeah.
Okay. There we go. All right, so give us a sense, Chad McComas, why some of the issues in Medford may... Because it's apparently not just Brandon's experience that things are harder in Medford.
It's very hard in Medford, and as Brandon has shared, there aren't very many opportunities. The rental vacancy is under 1% in Medford, so that allows landlords to be pretty picky about who they take, and, of course, the people in the very bottom are not going to get in. And they've been raising rates also. Many of the landlords in the Jackson County area have raised their rates so they get above the HUD level. And when they get above the HUD level, they don't have to take HUD. And so that then knocks all the low-income people out.
In other words, the rent is above what HUD will be willing to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so now you're no longer required to take HUD.
Correct.
Tenants. Yeah. So any idea what the percentage of available housing is that is in the HUD level?
You know, I really don't know that at all.
All right.
But I do know that it's getting tougher for a guy like Brandon to find anything.
So tell us about the steps up to this point for Hope Village. You certainly have a couple of places to look to that have taken these steps before you. Given the fact that it had been done in other places, did you think it might have been a quicker process than it has turned out to be?
Actually, it's been faster than we thought it could be, which has been really amazing. You know, we believe God has really blessed us on this one. Rogue Retreat has been working with the homeless since 2006. We have 44 apartments, a couple of women's recovery homes. And one of the things that has really hit us the last three or four years is there's different levels of homelessness. And some of the people we were able to help were not the people on the streets. And we wanted to try to get down to a different level and try to get some people rescued from, you know, under bushes and along the Greenway. And we looked at Opportunity Village up in Eugene about a year and a half ago and said, you know, they've got a good model here. We could copy that. And there's all kinds of tiny house villages all over the country. And we just began to look at that and say, there's got to be a way to do that here. It seems like it'd be inexpensive relatively to get it up and running. Now we just have to find a spot. And that's been the toughest one, is finding location.
And there was a proposal there along what, North Front Street, I think, in a fairly unresidential sort of area.
Correct. We are so grateful that the city council, the president, Dick Gordon, invited us in to talk to the city council, says, listen, you guys are trying to do this. This is a good project. The city really needs to get involved. And so the city approached us. And we started discussions back in April. And even though it seems like it's been a long time, it really was relatively short that they gave us permission to at least settle on a piece of land. It was a tough process for them because they didn't really expect the backlash they've got from some, you know, of the community, they not in my backyard type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tough thing. And they knew it was the right thing to do. They just had to find a spot that we could do it relatively easy.
We're talking about the groundbreaking for Hope Village in North Medford on City Owned Land. This is near the City Service Center in North Columbus.
It is on the City Service Center land.
Okay, right there. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about homelessness generally and how Medford is dealing with it specifically with Hope Village. 800-838-3760 to talk to Chad McComas or Brandon. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Brandon, what is a night like for you? Where did you spend last night? Where did you spend the weekend?
I have been staying with a friend on his floor for the past couple of months. That resource is soon to run out because I'm not actually supposed to be there. And my other option is going to be the street. Because of the strict rules around the mission and their policy with staying there consecutively, if you don't stay there consecutively, they kick you out for 30 days.
This is the gospel mission in downtown
Memphis?
Yes. Is there a lot of that where you're trying to find a place to stay, a place that is identified as a place that will be a shelter, but there are rules to follow that preclude you from staying there?
Yes, there's unfortunately a lot of that.
And so if you're living on the streets, then, I mean, do you have a car or someplace else you stay when you're not able to crash on somebody's floor or get into a mission?
No, I recently lost my car. It's been devastating.
So what's the option then?
The street. I have a tent that I got from St. Vincent de Paul, and I have access to tarps and stuff, and have all that stuff ready in case I need it to stay on the street because the street is the only other option.
I mean, are we talking the street? Or are we talking bushes or parks or where? I mean,
probably have to find a bush or something to hide a tent because generally the cops and people don't like to see tents just floating around. Mm-hmm. So you have to find a secluded space that may be safe to even leave your tent up because you have to worry about theft and people coming into your camp and all kinds of stuff like that. There's been a time where I actually slept in a military sleeping bag underneath of a bridge on the Greenway.
All right, so all kinds of different places. What do you do for, I mean, how do you take showers? Where do you brush your teeth even and just take care of the basic needs of life when you're getting going of the day?
You can take a shower at the mission. I'm not sure if you can do that if you're disallowed there or not. There's access to what is called the urban rest stop at St. Vincent de Paul, but you have to be available between the hours of 8 and 12 to be able to. You have access to free laundry there, mm-hmm, and a free shower there.
And what are your job hours like? I mean, do they help?
7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., so I miss out on almost everything, mm-hmm, including the ability to go to Set Free, where they also have laundry facilities and shower facilities and free food.
So it's not just a matter of services not being available. They're available, but they're not always available when you are, particularly when you're trying to rebuild a life and then keep a full-time job and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, welcome to the nightmare of being homeless, right?
Yeah. So,
you know, and one thing he didn't mention, let's say he does end up having to be under a bush or under a tree in the Greenway. It's illegal to camp in Medford. So if the police do find him, they'll give him a $3,000 fine.
$3,000?
I did not know that.
$3,000 fine.
And this is news to you, Brandon.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so what we do is we criminalize homelessness. And I understand, you know, they don't want everybody sleeping along the Greenway. But that's what we approach city with. There has to be some place they can be. As you said, Brandon, there's places you can get resources. But where can he be legally in Medford when he's homeless? No place.
You know, if he's not at work, I mean, there's a question of, like, where can you
be? Yeah, I know a young lady who's been on the streets for about 10 years, and I think she's gotten about 5 of those tickets now. Well, what happens then when she finally, and when you get a ticket and you're homeless, are you going to go to court? Probably not, because you don't have any way of paying it. Now, when they do go to court, they'll drop it down to about $50 or something like that, but the homeless can't even pay $50. So what happens is we have these fines and these no showing up at court, you know, all that kind of stuff. So then, let's say a Brandon has some of those and he begins to put his life back together. Now he's got a criminal record. So now a potential employer might say, hey, I don't think we want this guy versus all these other people that don't have a criminal record. So we really are putting the homeless in this well that they can't get out of.
Chad McComas is the executive director of Rogue Retreat. Brandon is living on the streets, actually crashing on somebody's floor now, but his future options are somewhat cloudy at the moment. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about homelessness generally and about the introduction of Hope Village into the mix of services available in Medford. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take a call from Rika in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
We have a project in Grants Pass that's called the Restwell Center that we're trying to get off the ground. We need a couple more people to actually form a nonprofit and get this going. But it would involve an old grocery store turned into a shelter for hundreds of people, with shower facilities, lockers, kennels for the dogs,
mm-hmm.
and a whole lot of cots.
And
with someone watching mm-hmm. the sleepers while they sleep for security.
And so, what's happening with that project?
Well, we've got a place that's picked for it, and it hasn't been sold out from under us yet, the old Rays on 7th Street. We need a bookkeeper to be our treasurer, and we really need someone besides me to lead this project, because I'm not the person who can really get people to donate.
Okay, so the Restwell Center, and then where would people go if they wanted to help you out with that?
Facebook. Mm-hmm. There's the Restwell Center page, and then there's also Friends of the Restwell Center for those interested in helping out.
Okay, Restwell Center on Facebook. Rika, thanks for joining us. Appreciate hearing about that. Maybe people can give you a hand with that. Let's come back to talk about the Medford situation. Give us an idea of the timeline for Hope Village, Chad. How many people will be able to live in there, and what the general setup is for what's available to them?
We will break ground today, and we hope to have people moved in by the end of January. That's our plan. We are on a fast track. We don't want more people on the streets in the winter than we have to. There'll be 14 tiny houses. That's all the land can bear at this point. And that can be either a person that's an individual or a couple. So we have actually 14 applications we're reviewing this week and interviewing people. If they all get accepted, that'll be 20 people in Hope Village, which I'm excited. 20 people off the streets means a lot to me, but it's not enough, but it's a start.
It's a real small percentage, I would think. I mean, and so
small.
So, yeah, Brandon, give us an idea on your travels. I mean, do you end up hooking up with other people? I mean, hanging out with other people who are homeless, or is it more of a lonely individual kind of thing?
I do. I'm heavily involved in the Compass House, which has been helping me stay out of 2 North, and there's other members that are there that are homeless, and they are on the streets.
Are you one of the applicants by any chance for Hope Village?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. But you hope to be.
Yes.
What are some of the metrics for Hope Village to be able to come back to the city then and say, okay, well, this worked. Can we do this again someplace else?
Well, I believe that just in that first year, the city will be watching us pretty closely and to see if their fears don't come true. And their fears in a lot of the public is it's going to be a hangout, a lot of people hang with shopping carts, and there's people going to be, you know, defecating in the alleys and stuff. This stuff is happening in Medford now, and they're afraid if we have this Hope Village, it will be a place for them to congregate. But that's totally the opposite of what Hope Village is. Hope Village is really a gated community. Nobody will be there except those that live there, and nobody can come and be there. There's no services. We're not handing out clothes. We're not having out showers or things like the St. Vincent de Paul does. So there's no reason for anybody to be hanging out there. So with the case management at Hope Village, we're not warehousing the homeless. We're giving them a solid place to be while they start working on the issues that have brought them to homelessness. We'll have case management for each person. We'll try to be moving on just as fast as we can into more permanent housing, to jobs like Brandon has, or income streams, get back to school, whatever we need to do for each individual. And then hopefully they'll move out quickly. We'll bring a new one in. That's our plan.
So is there a limit to the stay length?
There's not going to be a limit, but I don't expect them to be there more than 9 months.
Will there be electricity? Will there be running water? I mean, what kinds of
services? Each house will not have electricity or running water. It's just basically an 8x10 shelter.
Mm-hmm.
insulated, but the village itself has gathering places that have electricity. There'll be showers and laundry facilities and restrooms, and there will be a kitchen that they can use. They won't have a meal made for them. They'll be making their own food, taking care of themselves.
Brandon, we were talking about your situation. You've been on the streets for several years off and on, and described Medford as the toughest place to be homeless. Have you seen any change over the time that you've been in the Medford area? Has it gotten any better? Has it gotten any worse?
I've been looking for housing since I arrived first in Medford in February.
Uh-huh. February of this year?
Yeah.
All right. And so that's 10 months then,
yeah,
looking for housing. And what's the major obstacle for you?
Having to make three times the income for some of these property people is really challenging, especially when you're working at minimum wage. You can't do it.
So you can't even save enough money just to be able to pay the first payments just to get into a place?
Also, there's a new place that's opening up called the Concord House, which I don't qualify for because at minimum wage, I make over the income limit.
Really? So you're stuck kind of between places?
Yeah. So it makes it really hard when you have this place that has these really low income limits. I mean, so much that that's only for people who are living on the system. And then people like me who are trying to have an honest job, they can't find any housing. There's nothing. There's no options. You run into a lot of roadblocks and stuff.
You talked about living in Yakima, Moses Lake, and Eugene before here. Did you leave those places because of the fact that you were trying to get your situation straightened out?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I've actually recently been thinking about moving back to Eugene because my situation here has become almost unbearable. I don't want to do that, but it's almost like there's no options.
What is it you like about Medford that makes you want to stay?
Well, I'm connected with a lot here. Since being here, I'm connected with a counselor in Jackson County Mental Health. I'm working with an employment specialist also, and I have the Compass House, which I really don't want to leave the Compass House, which would be my major thing.
Mm-hmm. So do you have some hope that things are going to turn around at some point? I mean, I'm curious how you maintain hope in the face of some of the things you've seen over the years.
I try to hope that the future will change, and you know, I try to make my own change, too. I don't just stand still and wait for change to come to me. I do reach out to tons of programs, and I try to call anyone I can.
Try to make your own luck, in a sense, yeah, and improve upon it. So let's talk again about there are other
things. Can I respond to
yeah,
something
go ahead.
Brandon
mm-hmm.
said? You know, and I think this is one of the misconceptions of homelessness. There are people in the community who think, well, they all are just lazy and they don't want to do anything. They're just addicted. We just need to get them out of town. And they don't realize that, like Brandon, you have the working poor. And so what a landlord did, what Brandon, you said that they want three times the income for what the rent is, that's pretty normal. Even Housing Authority says that they only charge you 30% of your income for rent because they know that's what you should pay. And so a fellow like Brandon who's working minimum wage, or a guy at Taco Bell or Subway or something, how can they make enough to pay for an $800 a month rent? Because they don't make three times that at the low minimum wage. And so it's a problem. We have a lot of working poor, and the homeless community is growing by leaps and bounds out there.
Well, and so does anybody have a good idea of what the approximate number is? I mean, because we're talking 20 people potentially in Hope Village, which is a real
stretch. A drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
You know, they do a point in time count every year, and that'll be in January to try to track the homeless one day. And that's a federal thing that happens all over the country. But it only catches a few. I think last year they found about 800. But there's a lot more than that. And the federal definition of homelessness is getting so narrow that the government can say, hey, we have less homeless than we ever have. But they're basically knocking people out. Like Brandon wouldn't be considered homeless in that list because he's couch surfing.
Okay, so you've been on somebody else's floor. So
right.
Yeah.
So, well, he's not homeless, but he is homeless because as soon as that person decides that they don't want him there or you guys have a fight or something, you're not there. And when the landlord finds out you are there, that person could lose their housing as well. So you've got a whole bunch of issues going on out there with the homeless community.
What else then? I mean, when you look at the suite of services that are available for homeless people around and what is being done to improve upon that suite of services, what would be the biggest change, the biggest thing, single change, you know, Hope Village aside, what other kinds of things are being done now that need to be done more of, or that aren't being done yet and need to be done for the first time?
Of course, it's always about funding. And so people who build affordable housing, if they don't have incentives to do that, it's not cost effective for them. And so there's a whole lot of groups that would love to build more housing, would love to be doing it, but they just don't have the ability to do it. Even with Rogue Retreat, we would love to add a lot more apartments and help people like Brandon, but we don't have the funds to do that.
Brandon, do you ever get a chance to talk to people who are in positions of authority, like members of the city council or anything, and explain, like, you know, here's what I'm looking for. Here's what people like me need.
No. This is the first opportunity I've ever had to actually say this is what's going on, and it's really hard for people, and it's harder for others than it is for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a somewhat grateful situation.
How many
until
total?
That runs out.
Right, until that runs out. So how many years on the streets altogether now? Or homeless,
at least a year homeless, right? So far out of my life I've been homeless.
Mm-hmm. Altogether, all right. Do you feel like you're in a well, as Chad had referred to earlier?
I do. I feel like it's every time I take a step forward, it's like taking a bucket and swishing out some water. It's like almost never getting to the top, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which means those of us on the outside have to put their hand down to pull them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we're trying to do with Hope Village. We hope to be able to prove the concept and then be able to expand. We have plans to have even more houses once we get permission to do that, because we got to help more people. And we find that with a person like Brandon, you give him a hand up, he's going to do well. Give him that opportunity. He's a hardworking guy. He's got initiative. He's got drive. He's got goals and dreams. He just needs a chance to get those.
You got a whole audience listening to you. Anything else you want to say, Brandon?
You know, part of this being homeless is I also have a kid. And I can't even get my kid back until I can figure out this housing situation.
All right.
So that's going to be another big thing that I have to deal with.
Okay, a bunch of obstacles ahead. Brandon, thank you so much for coming today to share your story with us. And Chad McComas, thank you from Compass House, or rather from Rogue Retreat.
I'm at Compass House, too. I'm on the board.
Okay, you got both going on.
I got them both.
Thanks for joining us to talk about the coming of Hope Village. Groundbreaking, what time today?
12 noon.
All right, thanks both of you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.